Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Qasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. Guest today, Mike Morg. Mike, it's great to have you on, man. Appreciate you coming on. Could you tell us, first of all, where you're calling in from and what you do for a living with Ornamentally You?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm the founder and CEO of Ornamentally You. I'm calling in from New Jersey, right outside New York City.
I'm in New York, so.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Nice. Yeah. So we're in the northern part, Bergen County.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah. Ornamentally You is, of course, obviously a unique home decor company. But when I started a business, we started in 2020, before kind of around the time COVID started. But the business really grew out of something that I actually started before that. In 2019, I was someone who's just, I got into selling online. And you know, I would have a store and I would sort of outsource production. It was, many of your listeners might know, print on demand. And that's sort of what I was doing. And I decided, I'm like, okay, I really like, you know, I found a manufacturer that was able to create Christmas ornaments. And so it's something I decided to do because I love Christmas. And I knew that, my ability was, you know, not in marketing or even like product making the product and stuff like that, but it was really like I would call it synthesizing, like just taking art and putting on this product. So we, you know, it's like taking two different discrete objectives and then combining it to one. So with the ornaments, really what it was that we started with ceramic ornaments, and with that you could really take different. I learned how to do Photoshop and I learned how to create the artwork myself. I would sell that online and it blossomed. It did very well in 2019. This was before COVID and everything like that. And we were selling a ton. And then I just ran into the worst kinds of problems. The manufacturer, even though they're in the US, they were shipping items out late. They were shipping out the wrong items. And it was in just extremely embarrassing ways. Like, for example, someone might order an item that might say like best grandma, and then they send him like a Halloween themed ornament of like some like zombie, and they're like, what the hell is this? You know, and
yeah,
it was like excruciating. And I basically lost it, like, you know, just kind of complaining to the manufacturer and stuff like that. And it did so well, but it was so disastrous at the same time, just because I had to just respond, talk to customers just all day, like saying like, hey, I apologize. And then, you know, so essentially fast forward in early 2020, I knew I had something. There was some momentum there. It did very well the year before, at least what I considered very well, from my experience, my little experience selling online. So I decided, I purchased an LLC, you know, I made a business out of it, you know, incorporated a name and all of that. This is mid 2020. At that point, I purchased the machinery that it took to, you know, took all my profits, purchased the machinery. And that's where the basement came in, you know. So it went from essentially on my computer into my basement. I had a printer, I had purchased product, and then I was just doing it myself, you know. And then 2020, you had COVID that happened and everything like that. So COVID wasn't the reason why the business started, but it definitely was an accelerant. I know also we had the election that year, you know, in the United States. So that was a big boost. Because with our ornaments, as I mentioned, there's so many different artistic themes that you could put on them that it's, you know, we sold election ornaments and they ended up doing very well. We obviously had all kinds of different themes and stuff like that. Started a Shopify website and it was very nascent. It was, you know, it's like looking back at it, there was tons of mistakes, but it did scale. It did very well. I'm here now speaking to you guys, but it was definitely hard, you know, because as it scaled in a basement, then I got help. We're in a small room. It's like a sweatshop. I'm there from 6 a.m. to midnight. And then there's a tenant in the house. And they were just like, they had complained to the landlord, who was my mother. He's just like, you know, what's going on? This is, you know, these people are crazy. They're walking down the stairs at 6 a.m. and then I hear noises until 12 a.m. I can't get any sleep. So I mean, I was just kind of dealing with all that. And then as a Christmas ornament business, dealing with the scale in late November, December. So it was just long hours. It was tough and to get all the orders out and do everything. But either way, we managed, survived, did it. And then 2021, the next year, is where I got the warehouse where I'm actually in now. It's so at that point in our business, it was I had to take a big leap essentially from being in a one room basement, and I say a basement, it wasn't like a big basement. It was like literally the size of a room. And so I had to go from that into a warehouse. And it was a lot of space, a lot of empty space. But at that point, it's like we grew. The business has grown, by the way, over 150% every year since we started. So yeah, so at that point, it's like, okay, we're here in this warehouse here in Mahwah, New Jersey. We're we buy more machines, buy more presses, start to hire. So it's a lot going on eventually with paid ad scaling. And as a business owner, I had to get good at a lot of stuff, like in terms of everything from warehouse management. I did outsource paid ads, which I probably should have got a lot better at myself. And I would suggest that to other people, just because if you're not good at something, you don't know what good looks like. So when you hire, there could be a lot more risk, so to speak, And so, I mean, I had learned through them. That's the good part about outsourcing, is that you could learn through somebody, but you can't, you don't know what you don't know. And so there was always that dynamic. But it's, I had to deal with like product development, fulfillment, so until this day, we fulfill in-house. Because now, when we started, I said this was a home decor brand. Now we've blossomed into other items. So ornaments is a huge part of our business, but now it's like we've recycled the profits into really doing more, because seasonality is, while there's a lot of benefits, because it's like, it's good to be in a niche, and it's like, okay, we're gonna dominate Christmas ornaments, and we're gonna have very unique, personalized and non-personalized and artistic ornaments. At the same time, it's just, I mean, people know you for that, you scale it, it goes very well, but cash flow is brutal. And then it's like, what do you do in April, or May, like we're in right now? Well, I'm not going to fast forward it to today, but years ago, we basically made little to no revenue. We might have, I think in 2021, my best day was, it was unbelievable back then, but it was over $6,000 in a day. And that was just like unbelievable. But if I go back on my Shopify dashboard and I look at April or May, I bet you I could find some days of 2021 where we had no revenue, or probably like $16. So it's, when you're dealing with that delta between what you make in your off season and what you make during your busy season, it's very tough. Because in this industry, suppliers, when you're, but the best part is a lot of stuff is made in-house, especially with the ceramic orders. But when you're getting into like glass and resin, like statues and stuff like that, which we are, you have to pay your suppliers in full before they ship it out. We don't have the luxury of especially with seasonal items. They say that they work that way, even with companies much bigger than us. That's how they operate. And so that means we have to pay for all these. I have to start paying in like May, June for all these items that I'm not going to sell until the end of the year. I might get it earlier, but you get it, you list it retail and wholesale, but you don't sell it until the end of the year. So that's a very tough thing to deal with, and it's very hard, but that's what we had to do, but thankfully we were profitable, because we had to be. I didn't have any investors. I did have an SBA loan early on, but I mean that's as good as it gets. I didn't really have outside advice. I didn't network, which was another mistake that I think business owners from the very beginning should network, because it's just that the level of feedback that you could get from that is really good. Not just like investors and stuff like that, but either way, I had to kind of figure it out myself. I had to really kind of just bootstrap. Like, that meant not paying myself. That meant, not taking big risks. Like, you take, you obviously everything you do early on in the business is a risk. You can't starting a business is a risk itself, but it's like, you just really got to think in a different way. If I was given like $1 million to start this business, I probably would have been a lot less disciplined, because I didn't have to kind of build that muscle of discipline. So it's good. There's a lot to learn. And I would say, even if passed ultimately one day, I start another business, even if I was funded, now that it's like, okay, your reputation precedes you, you could get funding, I would still have that mentality where it's like, hey, I don't, you're charging me $300 a month and your software doesn't really do much. Like, I'm gonna argue with you and say, like, why are we paying for this plan or whatever it is, So it's like, it's good, because a lot of businesses have blown up the past few years just by not being focused and focusing on profitability. And then obviously lending is more expensive. So I'm happy we built that muscle, but it's still very hard, and 2022, 2023, last year, we've continued to grow over 150% to 200% last year, about 170%. It was it's tough, but we've managed to survive. Our biggest issue last year, ironically, was that this warehouse was not big enough for us. So,
It's a good problem to have.
I mean, when I first moved in, it was like, oh no, this is too much space. I think I had family come in and visit. They're like, what are you going to do with all this space? Our friends or somebody told me, some people told me that. And I'm just like, well, watch me, watch this, like, I'm ready for this. So it's, I'm not, you have to have some kind of a risk appetite, like I said, but you don't want to do things that will blow your business up either. But we had our landlord knock down another adjacent unit, knock down an adjacent wall, and then we expanded. And then that this was before, at the end of 2022, or in the early part of last year, actually, 2023. And then during the season when we got all our shipments in and we were stacked from like our boxes to the roof, you guys could probably see behind me, I have some
Yeah, I was
boxes
gonna
here.
say, I can see that.
This is the aftermath, right? This is, we're getting
Right.
some stuff in, preparing for 2024. But this was it was a hazard in here, in my, you could call it an office, I call it a bunker. I had boxes stacked like all over. And funny enough, there's one box in front of me that we did have that it fell, like they were stacked so high it fell, but I wasn't in here. And like, if I was, it's like all ceramic. So if I was, that probably would have hurt. So yeah, business is a hazard, guys. That's if there's any lesson in there. But this year we're moving to, now it's like the next leap, which is 10th that we're in a 3,000 square foot. We're after the addition, it's 3,400 square feet. Now we're tripling that. We're moving to something that's 10th, about 11,000 square feet in length. And I think we're going to fill that up pretty quickly. And what's difficult as a fast growing business is that when you sign a lease, you typically, like, you can't just sign 1 year. And you could, it depends on the situation, but like,
It's pretty
if you're
rare,
lucky,
yeah.
yeah. So it's like you have to pay for space that you're not using and that you're going to grow into,
Right.
many occasions. I think the 11,000 square feet area is, we're subleasing it. We have the whole unit to ourselves, but we are subleasing it. So it's only 2 years, which is good. So if we grow out, and it's very high ceiling, so we could grow into it another year. And if this business keeps growing at the same pace, we're going to look at a new area. But so these are the problems I'm dealing with now. It's like, early on. And then even then, one thing that when we started the first year, we had about $105,000 in revenue. Last year, we got to 2.6 million in revenue. So about 4 years, a little under 4 years. This is our fourth year, actually. But so when you're growing fast and scaling, it's very hard to take control. It's hard to be profitable. We have been, we're lucky. We're more profitable last year than we were the year before, but we have some good tailwinds. And but it's still difficult just in terms of paying suppliers and bringing stuff in. We've unlocked wholesale as a channel, which was a big help that did not exist when the business started. Now it's a little less than 10% of our revenue, but it has grown. It grew over 500% last year. So if that could grow at an accelerated pace, which we think it will, that because one thing I didn't mention to your listeners is that from the very start, I mentioned how we synthesize. That was my specialty. I take art and put it on this product. We're not private labeling, and it's a more defensible to have a business where it's not just a common commodity, because in that case, you're always going to have somebody that's doing it. For one, if you're dealing with China, like they're making it right from their factories, so they're paying less in labor. They're obviously not, it's like when you're paying them, you have to pay obviously the labor cost, but then you have to bake in a little profit because they're a business too, right? So if you I was just going to slap a private label on a product and then send it to my warehouse or to Amazon or whatever it is, it's just that's it's not necessarily defensible. It's a fight to the bottom. So from the very start, I'm like, okay, we're gonna price this. I'm gonna sell something that's unique, and we're gonna sell unique products. That's our culture in terms of production, and we're going to and we're it's gonna command a higher price, and we're gonna sell at a higher margin. So we have that has helped a lot because we have room for error. If we if, this is not the goal, but if we're getting like glass ornaments we don't make here, that's an entire process. We outsource that, but we design it. I have a team of graphic designers now. We design the products, we bring it in, but our margin is so high on those products that if we sold 30%, we would break even on the PO. So it's now you don't want to only sell 30%, but the point is just that it's a very lopsided margin profile in terms of the way it in terms of profitability and the pressure of selling it. So and why could if we just sold the same thing that was sold by 10 or 50 other sellers on Amazon, well now we have to compete on price. And then but in this case it's like no, nobody's going to sell our product because we're going to report them. This is something that we made, it's our IP, so that's really and that has costed that it's tons of headaches dealing with suppliers. It's tons of heartache, when there's products that don't come out the way you want it to. You have a high standard, you have to build a system where you can facilitate communication between your supplier, your design team, yourself, so but it's it's I'm happy we've built that muscle because and I think it's necessary that we did because in e-commerce, it's like they say you're cutting out the middleman, but really, Meta, Amazon, they're taking bigger chunks now. It's not the game is not how it was years ago before I started. Unfortunately, it would have been if I started 2017, I would have been very, I would have been a lot of fun, but it's tougher now. CPMs are higher. It's just it costs more to market. Everybody's online selling e-commerce, so there's not those kinds of advantages. There are advantages selling direct to consumer, but don't get me wrong, but it's just if you could do that while having a higher margin, there's room for error. There's room for broken products, returns, whatever it is that you have to deal with. It's yeah. And one thing I should mention is that we are an omni-channel based business. We sell on Amazon, we were selling on Etsy, we don't anymore, but we sell on Walmart Marketplace, that is, so we and then we sell like wholesale marketplaces like Fair and a site called Creo8. So we're it's a muscle we've built to sell very well online, and I hope that in the future we could take this type of business and be omni-channel and hopefully have sort of like a cultivated sort of high quality home goods stores and sort of like touristy areas. Like you can't compete because if you compete with home goods, now you're pricing yourself to the bottom, and then I'd be undercutting my online customer. And it's just like that's a higher ambition, but in terms of just like folksy like gift shops and stuff like that, which are our wholesale customers, by the way, because in gift shops you might purchase a mug, let's say, for $15, $20 or more, and it's unique. But if you go to home goods, you're like, I don't want to pay more than five. It's different. So that's where I'm hoping we could go in the future. I know I'm looking far ahead. I mean, for now, it's just we want to keep this e-commerce flywheel going. We feel like at 2.5 million, it's just we're just scratching the surface. This market is with Christmas decorations and stuff. It's a lot bigger. I think most of it, over 90%, is offline for sure, because our average customer is older. They're in we've seen customers as old as 90. I'm not kidding, you know, because we asked their birthday when they order. So, you know, I saw 1930 last year and I was shocked. I was like, but for the most part, they're like over 50, 60, 70. Most of these people are shopping offline. But the ones that are shopping online, we are capturing that audience. They do like to buy, you know, our ornaments. We sell statues now. We're selling wreaths. A lot of these are gifting items. And, you know, when I say we're a unique home decor company, we still sell mostly Christmas ornaments, but I'm projecting essentially what I want us to be, you know, and then we're going to do more things that are just for the home and not necessarily like furniture, like chairs or mattresses, or well, not mattresses, but like tables and stuff like that. But we are, hint, hint, sneak peek, get into plates and other like tableware and stuff like that. So that is on our horizon in terms of just this year. But obviously, we're going to expand on that. And it is risky for a business to get into different verticals and stuff like that. But we kind of know, you know, I've built out a team and a methodology for just sort of listing these products, and I guess the challenge is marketing them. But we went into a garden statues starting last year. This year we really invested into it, and it's gone really well because now we do have a spring business, which is nothing like what our fall and Christmas and Halloween businesses, but it's like, you know, getting there because you want to be well-rounded. It's better for your cash flow. It's better, you know, if you are looking for a loan, which you know, we need to pay for our inventory, because it's, you know, most things don't sell until the very end of the year, like the ornaments and stuff like that. I mean, so, you know, that is something that we try to do, you know.
Awesome. Awesome, man. Well, Mike, I just want to give you a quick opportunity as well. I appreciate you sharing your story and you know, all the beginning to end, all the things you kind of went through. I think there's you know, a lot of people that might be listening could find a lot of commonality there with, you know, the issues with logistics and your manufacturing and you know, working with a you know, third party manufacturer and then take control of that process yourself. Yeah, I appreciate you sharing your story, man. I just want to give you an opportunity, you know, for anybody listening that might be interested in a potential partnership with you or just interested in checking out the site, maybe placing an order. Let everybody know how to stay in touch with you guys.
Yeah, absolutely. So, company name is, again, Ornamentally You. Our website is ornamentallyyou.com. You know, if you guys could contact us, say you heard us on a pod. You know, my CX team, we just hired a new head of customer service. He's in there. By the way, one thing, followers, please do this from the very beginning. Create SOPs, create systems. I didn't start that till last year, you know, way too late. But it's been a complete blessing. And now when I've hired my head of customer experience, right, he's in there. I'm like, okay, you're going to come in, you're going to do the dirty work, as he's totally on board with this. But it's like, okay, answer the customers, but then systematize that, you know. So everything I had done in the beginning, because in the beginning it's just like I'm shooting from the hip. I'm like, let me do this, this, and this. You know, I should have had like four screens because I was just like doing so much, but I should have wrote it down, like what if I did it more than once. So I tell my VAs, I'm like, hey, if you're doing something more than once, you know, write it down, like make a system out of it. We'll refine a system, we'll build on it. You want to be agile as a business, and you know, you want to be creative, but at the same time you don't want to be like rigid or, you know, but at the same time, you do want a system, you know. So you want to have that system allow for flexibility. You know, you want to give people the ability to really fix it if they see fit. But yeah, that's just something I felt like I should mention. But anyways, you know, to wrap it up, you guys could find me on Twitter, X, you know, Mike Borg 55 is my handle. I'm on LinkedIn, just type in Mike Borg. You see Morgenstein, that's my full name, but people know me as Mike Morg. But you know, LinkedIn, you gotta be professional, right? So I try. Yeah. And then, you know, guys, reach out to our customer service, be like, hey, I heard you on a pod, and you could get 25% off. You know, that's my gift to listeners.
Awesome.
If you have any questions, I hope you guys are listening and saying like, oh, this guy is just so long-winded. And I just try to give all the context. And I think it's really has been a journey. You know, there's obviously a lot of details in there, but we, you know, be here all day if I went through every detail. But if you anybody has any questions, I'm willing to help talk about a shared network. I like I said, I could learn from anybody. I think that's why business owners listen to other business owners, even if they're in different industries, because it's like, hey, you listen to something for 50 minutes, you take one nugget of knowledge, and then you apply it, and it could really enhance your business. That's basically what has helped me through the years, just trying to like reading the internet, listening to podcasts, soaking it up. And if it's not relevant to me, you throw it out. If it is relevant, you add it on, and then take it as it may, you do what you could with it. So that's just,
Awesome, man.
yeah.
Awesome. Well, Mike, I just want to say thank you again for coming on, brother. I wish you the best of luck, continued success in everything you're doing, man. And yeah, I look forward to staying in touch.
Absolutely. Definitely.
Awesome.
I'm a listener, guys. So, all
Thanks,
right.
Mike. Thanks, everybody.
Bye.